Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. Happy Halloween, everybody. We're celebrating a little early because it is on Sunday, but this show is on Saturday. So we're doing it on Saturday. We have quite a little party going on. First of all, a big shout out to everybody in the conference building having fun. There's a lot of kids running around dressed up and a lot of really big kids running around dressed up out there. And some pretty nice costumes and taking pictures, and the whole room is full of orbs. It's kind of nice. We did a little kind of a clearing work and brought in some really high beings for everybody to play with, and it was quite fun. So that being said, we've got a great show. We've got Chris Moores, and he's a musician, composer, artist, writer of several books, philosopher, radio personality, and he's the man behind the website creativecosmos.org. And he's rooted in the traditions of the West with a deep appreciation for meditation of the East. He's unifies both in his work. And we're going to talk about Sam Haim today, and or Sam Haim, I should say. And we're going to be discussing dreamings, entities, the shamanic work of soul retrieval, all kinds of things. So without any further ado, Christopher, are you with us?
Yes, I am. And happy to be so.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, so many people want to know what Sam Haim is all about. And whenever I hear Sam Haim, I think of some guy, you know, guy that makes underwear or something, you know. So maybe you can give us the roots of Sam Haim.
Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. It's a time in the cycle where the active part is slowing down, and then there's this little gap before slumber. And in that gap, things can really move around. It's just like on the individual level, we have our active day, and then just before sleep, we start going into the dream space. And I believe that this time of the year, and what all traditions have felt or soaked up from this time of the year and then represented in various ways, and Sam Haim can be one way to one name to call it, is just that where the other world is a little bit closer and where we are noticing it a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. It does seem to be, you know, some people call it the Day of the Dead. There's all kinds of stories about it. A lot of people used to have big bonfires, and you have to sit around the bonfire all night long and tell stories. So the dead or the boogie woogie man or whatever doesn't come and get you in your house.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you say stories. There's something about telling stories that brings these entities closer together. Just like when a family gets together and they tell their old family stories, it builds the bond. And when we get together, and you know, there's all kinds of boogie-oogies, but there's also our ancestors and the forces that contribute to our lives in a positive way that we can call forth and try to connect with and get guidance from.
Yeah, can you go a little deeper into that?
Sure. There's a number of ways to look at it, but this is, as far as I understand, this is one quality of what could be called the indigenous mind, or the mind that the people of the planet had before we got really technological and left hemispheric, the tuning into the earth. And I believe that those we've loved and have, those who've crossed over, are not so far away, and we can create a circumstance where we can directly include them in the present of our lives. This is one reason people have such sorrow at death, is because they believe it to be an ending, and they feel cut off from those they've loved. But many of the ancient peoples, they didn't look at it that way. They included the dreams or the visions or the real connections you can make through these stories and through sharing these memories. And they didn't believe death to be such an ending, as more of a transition into another space. And when you can gain experiential knowledge of that, when you can dream that, when you can do that, when you can communicate and connect, then death loses a little bit of its sting.
Mm-hmm. I always hear people say, you know, I lost my mother or I lost my father. I go, how'd you lose them? You know, yeah. You kind of you fell asleep. That's how you lost them.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but yeah, we get so trapped into this three-dimensional reality, we forget the other realities are going on right alongside of us, and our ancestors are right there next to us as well. And it depends on our belief system. I know a lot of the ancient traditions honored that, and you know, put food out for their relatives and things like that at major events, and put a plate out for them, and just acted as if they were still there right alongside of them. And in a way they were, they just weren't in a physical body.
Yeah, exactly. One thing about that, and they're placing that food out, but what they're really doing as well is sending this intent out to the universe, or just radiating this intent to the other side, or to the other spaces, or to the other frequencies, which then helps draw them near and makes it possible for that connection. They're sending that message out, and then they're remaining open to receive a response.
Yeah, I just had a big green flash of light appear next to me, and I'm the only one in this room. So somebody is listening.
Yeah. See, I mean, or my even dad. This. Yeah, you and me talking and everybody listening out there, we're creating the circumstance right now. So I would encourage the listeners as well. Right now, even as we're talking, kind of send that intention out there. Think of someone that you loved, or somebody that's you might be very nearby, and you just need to open the door.
Definitely. There's a now, this is also seems to be a time where the veils are very thin, or, you know, there's so many different traditions around Halloween. And some say it's a time for the dark forces and the witches and the other stuff to have their day. You know, it's a very, and the others say, well, it's a day where the veils between worlds are very thin. So it's a very good day to meditate, make your peace, contact loved ones from the other side. There's so many different stories about this. You know, it's interesting, and I know a lot of it has been demonized, you know, by the churches. You know, they kind of demonize all the natural ceremonies and things like that that have been going on for thousands of years. But you know, how do you celebrate Samhain? Or
well, you know, I think all of that, what you said, is true. It's a time where the veil is thin. And my favorite thing to do is just be outside at dusk and walk around and be in my space and just kind of feel everything as I walk. I look for the animals. I look to see what they're doing. I look to see what they're telling me. I look to the birds, and I look to the trees, and I look to the colors, and I look to the skies and the clouds and the stars. And my very favorite thing in life is to see the rainbow sky at dusk, and to just open up and bask in that glow, and to open my heart and lose all boundaries.
Are we born once? Are we born twice? Is it my imagination? Are we born once? Are we born twice? Is it my imagination? Is it a big surprise? Oh, you better think twice getting higher until you fly. So
I just had somebody recently send me an email that showed all the volcanoes going off around the world. And I think things are going to be cooling down. And we don't need to be doing those chemtrails anymore because the volcanoes are taking care of everything, just as I said it would. And we don't have to worry about global warming because the planet knows how to take care of itself. So when the planet overheats, the volcanoes go off, throws all that ash up into the air and cools things down and brings things back to normal. So it's a natural process. We don't need to poison all the citizens in these harebrained schemes, which, according to the UN, they just banned chemtrails. So we'll see where that goes. It's almost like the fox, you know, telling the coyotes, we're going to stop, you know, so we're going to stop eating chickens, you know, so it's one of those things, but we'll see. Hopefully this will work out and they'll stop spraying us with all those carcinogenic chemicals and biologicals and dumbing everybody down with the aluminum and raising the pH of the soil and the water and everything else. And I strongly suggest go on YouTube, find the links for what are they spraying, and go and see it. Watch it all the way through. What on earth are they spraying? Just Google it. There's several. There's a Vimeo link for it. There's a couple other links on it. It's all over the internet. But definitely watch that. Watch that movie all the way through. They don't get into depth what's really going on. It's much deeper, but they do cover most of it. And basically what they did was they covered things that were completely provable that you could not discredit. So they could go into the other theories in another show, but what they did cover was just amazing, and we'll have to get them on the show. They'll probably be one of our next guests coming up here real soon.
Hey, James.
We got you back.
I'm back. And I think we're okay. I've been hanging in there for a while. That's great. Good stuff, man. I like what you're saying. And, I thought it was pretty interesting that things with the Skype went a little funky, right, when you talked about the veil being thin, and then you talked about the veil being double thin, and then next thing you know, I'm thrown out into outer space. And it took me a minute to get back to you, but glad to be back. Look forward.
I thought the witches did a flyover, a goblin got you or something.
Well, they may have. I disappeared for a few minutes, and then I had to kind of find my way back, and I eventually did. So
those things happen on Halloween.
Yep, indeed they do.
Yeah, have you been following this chemtrail issue?
Yeah, I am, at least to some extent, and it is, very disconcerting. I don't know how they can continue to spray that stuff without us really knowing what it is. And I can't believe that there isn't a bit more of an uproar about it.
Yeah, just what it's doing to nature, just really, that's the part that upsets me. Because we got away from the cities, we got out in the middle of nowhere, and we go, we're going to live a real wholesome spiritual life, in unity with harmony. In harmony with nature, and grow our own food and everything else. And what they're putting on the soil, and it's burning the leaves of the tree. The fruit has this white, pasty stuff on it, spraying down from the sky. It's covering the windows. It's people are getting sick everywhere. And, it's it's undeniable. They've actually measured what's coming down, and you know, 60,000 times the safe allowable amounts of aluminum are raining down on us, and barium and strontium, and it's so far over the limit of anything safe. It's just basically we're being sprayed by like insignificant bugs, you know. And
yeah, they could be trying to tinker with our DNA too, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, all these, their biologicals, they're fine. They didn't cover the biological aspect of it, but they did. They definitely did cover the strontium, the aluminum, and the barium, all of which have very severe side effects, and they're poison. They're toxic. They're poison. End of story. You know, it's like, not too much more to say about that one.
That's the real horror story on Halloween here.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to go too far to find a real horror story. All you have to do is look at what's going on in our government.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate horror story. And
But
you know, we were told this would happen. You know, all the Native American prophecies talked about this, and they said the beast is going to become so big and so fat and so ugly that it finally consumes itself. But before it does, it looks like it's trying to consume and dominate everything and everyone, and you know, and that's where it's at right now. It's at the height of its fall, I'd like to say.
Yeah, which is all the reason more for everybody listening to this and everybody out there to claim your own personal space, connect with your own inner power, and don't look to the outside to find the fulfillment that you long for. Seek for it on your own. Search for it and be independent and be strong and be hardy and reconnect with the land and find your spirit. And that's the best thing we can do to transmute this energy and make it so that we will have a future.
Exactly. You know, we were given these divine rights, and some people talk about the Constitution, but I don't even think you need the Constitution. You know, it's a great document, but these are, you know, innate, you know, inalienable divine rights given to us by the Creator, or whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever name you want to give it. But I always feel we do have the right to live a thoroughly loving, blissful, joyous life in harmony with each other and nature, and we don't really need all this oppression and legalized extortion and all these other programs that are running right now. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that things are getting more oppressive, more controlling, more dominating, and everything is just going in the toilet fast. The health industry is totally in the toilet. The defense industry is the offense industry, and you know, the major corporations are running everything right now. So if you need a Halloween horror story, just look at what's going on all around you.
Yeah, I'd still encourage that being the case to each, you know, this is why I think, you know, as you said, I'm a musician. And part of this, they're trying to take music like out of the schools and trying to cut back on art and all this kind of thing, because this is where the human spirit finds its flowering. And this is not a control issue. It's an expression issue. It's a creativity issue. It's a life issue. So to be creative is to be life, and is the perfect antidote to that oppression. Uh-huh.
Oh, I agree 100%. It's you know, when you're in touch with your creativity, you're in touch with the source, and the source wants to create through you in its own unique way. And it seems like the more they squash and oppress these programs, you know, the more they create these little robots, which is really what they want.
Yeah, but they'll never succeed. What it does is it creates a pressure cooker, and all these kids are just, you know, they don't understand it, and they don't have any freedom, and they're getting their heads packed full of all this stuff. But meanwhile, what they're being shown and what they're being demonstrated to in the TV culture and with many of their parents is a is a great irresponsibility. So they're not finding any guidance or any friendship. They're getting lost, and they're and all these energies get swarming around, and it's no wonder you see all the things you do with these kids, and they're lashing out, or they're seeking empty roads to find some kind of consolation for what they're not find. They're just seeking for any kind of an answer that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure doesn't make sense where we've come to. That's for sure. The nuclear family and everything else that we're doing, and you know, I find it interesting too. And I am not trying to be a downer, but I know how we've been led down this path, and now that process has gotten so huge, you know, and people are trapped. You know, we've given up all our freedom because of these terror programs and these other things running, and you know, the TV blaring and constantly, and you know, you should be very afraid. This is, you know, orange alert or red alert or you know, they keep catching these guys that aren't really who they think they are or who we're told they are. It's pretty crazy, but I don't want to get into that whole thing. But I think, you know, it'd be a good time to just start throwing your TV out the window and get back into nature and get back into the natural flow of things.
Well, definitely get back to nature and any way you can. And you'd be surprised how rejuvenating it is to just sit out in the sun for a half hour or take a few deep breaths on a cool evening or, you know, just take a swim in a pool or a pond
or a puddle.
Anything you can do, you know, the natural world is there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's just like you say, we're getting closed in on ourselves and all this TV culture and whatnot. It gives you an alternate, very small reality, a very sick reality, and it you can get outside of that. You just have to see it for what it is and get inner space from it. And one of the best ways to do that is to ground yourself in nature somehow, any way you can. Get back to nature.
I agree. I find out the more you get into nature, the more nature gets into you.
It's a little bit of lightning, it's a little bit of thunder, it's a little bit of joy in the air, it's a little bit of wonder, it's alive in the animals, it's growing through the greenery, celebrating all around the living scenery, it's everything. Shining pleasure and a cure for pain. It's the sun of the earth and a morning rain. It's a field of fireflies. It's a dance in the sunrise. Laughing for the rest of your life, happy and wise. Inside the empty corners of your mind. Simple kind word that puts a smile on your face, a heart full of love for the human race. It's a special type of harmony with the whole wide world, a blessed time for every boy and girl. Your old ideas no longer have a home. It's a soul full of gratitude. It's the whistling wind, a perfect attitude. It's it's a whole new spirit with a lot of possibilities, and each one's open for you. Now what you gonna do? A single person in a single place, floating on a ball in outer space, and the life flows all around you. Love has finally found you. It's a little bit of lightning, it's a little bit of thunder, it's a little bit of joy in the air, it's a little bit of wonder.
We had, I just did a four-way Skype call with another, on another show with four different people. It was so hilarious because all these sounds started coming over the air. And you know, Alfred Weber, everybody knows him. He's ExoPolitics. He's doing rap, you know. He's like, it was like totally rapping when he was talking. It was so hilarious. And we were all just on the floor laughing. And the technician was going, oh my God, you know, what's going on here? And he's like freaking out. And we're just, everybody on the air is just having a ball with it. It was so hilarious. It was probably one of the funniest shows I've done.
Cool.
But people were popping on. And I was the only one that stayed on, miraculously, because usually I'm the guy that gets thrown off the air.
Yeah, man, it seems like you got a good hang of just kind of rolling with it. And we're on to the next thing. And all is as it should be. And whatever happens, happens, you know.
Keep having this light flash and this thing standing next to me here. So
you still got the green entity, huh?
yeah, it's interesting. It keeps kind of appearing over here on my right. This kind of a flash of light and something's there.
Well, you know, let's talk about that a little bit, about how people can notice that. That's one thing that, you know, like I said, I think these people or entities are all around us a lot of the time, and we just have to kind of recognize they're there. And one of the big techniques that I've found is to not doubt your first inclination, because oftentimes you'll feel like right in the initial contact what it is, but then somehow your mind will rationalize it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually because I'm kind of distracted. I'm doing the show here right now and this flash is going on. I'm trying to keep my focus on the show. So I'll talk to it later, whatever it is, and find out what it is. But you know, I find it interesting. We at the Halloween party going on, we just took some photographs in there, and oh boy, it's like there must be, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people in that room, you know, with all the orbs and everything else showing up. It's just there was like wall to wall orbs, great, real bright ones, great big ones.
Yeah,
and there's some kids,
awesome,
you know, playing around in there, and they love kids. They really come for the kids. But definitely the veils are very thin right now, and I think it is why so many orbs are there right now in the building. And these are all our ancestors hanging around wanting to communicate.
Great. That's great.
Yeah, nature spirits, everything else. So I'd love to hear more about some of your experiences with you know, communications or in the dream time or things of that nature.
Well, that's something I've been really intensely active with lately, is the dreaming experience. And we talked a little bit earlier about the intent being so important and the ongoing process of dreaming and recovering your dreams, and how each dream kind of leads to the next and gives you guidance sometimes when you need to. You can get insight into anything if you have it on your mind and are open to receive the symbols. And then also you can carry that with you to your daytime and kind of keep the dream perspective alive during the days, in which, just like you might read the symbols of a dream and interpret a dream, same story goes for the things that can happen to you in the physical world. You can interpret that stuff symbolically as well, and just about any way you can agree with the universe that you're going to communicate, it's going to respond to you. So if you say to yourself you're going to read the animal signs and symbols, then that will start becoming more active or present for you. If you're into numbers and you want to read, communicate with the universe through numbers, there's numbers all around, and pretty soon you'll start noticing certain patterns or certain things turning up. Mm-hmm. If you want to use the tarot cards, that works. If you want to use the I Ching, that works. But it all works like the dream space, where you get the messages that you need, and all you have to do is interpret them. And a very important part of the process is the dream notebook or the dream journal. So you kind of get into the habit of writing these things down, or carrying at least bits of the dream back with you, to let it sink in, or to act as your bridge to the dream space. I should definitely say that recently I've been influenced by two great dreamers. Robert Moss and Tarya Ward have been really influencing me and helping me, and especially Tarya lately. Just get into that dream space as a regular part of your life, as an active part of your life, and just keep it going. And a very important thing is, if you get this insight from your dream, and it will tell you why you might be unsettled in the present, but you'll never be able to rectify that incongruity without action, without taking the step that you need to take to free yourself. And that's one beautiful thing about this time of the year, and going into the winter, or going into the slumber. It's a time to let bygones be bygones. That's why there's the winter celebration coming up. It's time to move on and move through and try something new. So take this space and keep it alive, keep it moving, make it a part of your life, and see the magic that's all around you.
Yeah, it's a good time to hibernate and spend a little more time, you know, indoors doing the dream time. I know one of the things that I like to do is drink a whole lot of water, or drink some iced tea or something right before I go to bed. And the tea kind of keeps you on that level where you don't fall so deep, you can't remember everything. And then you have to wake up and go to the bathroom. So if you have your book right there, you wake up, you can write those dreams down and start using that as a guide. I wouldn't do it all the time because you do need your sleep, but it is a good way to, you know, keep that process going. Because as soon as you wake up, if you don't write it down right away, you're going to usually lose it. You won't remember.
Amazing. It's amazing how fast it fades out. One of the tricky things is you almost feel in that first moment like you know it so well, but as soon as you get drawn into the senses and into the outer world, it does. It just flees away.
I have all these dreams where I'm always teaching people how to fly, and teaching people it's your mind that's not allowing you to fly. And they're constant, you know, it's a reoccurring thing. It's quite interesting, which kind of falls into the other work I do anyway, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, that's probably just you on the astral plane doing the same kind of things you do here, which is really cool, because I think it's great to have kind of that continuity between here and there, where it's not so different that you're just kind of the same person doing the same kind of thing. That shows you really have come a long way towards realizing your soul and your soul purpose, because you'll do it wherever you are. You'll do it around the rings of Saturn, or when you go visit Pleiades, or whatever else you want to do, you'll be doing what is your nature. So that's a good thing. Bravo to you, man. That's great.
Yeah, it gets real interesting. I have different types of dreams that, you know, a lot of times I'll have, you know, I'll run off with the Syrians, you know, the felines or the Pleiadians or things like that. But lately, it's like been doing a lot of work on the lower astral levels, helping, you know, to clean up those levels and clean up a lot of the consciousness there. And the other night I had a dream that, you know, everybody wants to talk about how holy they are, you know, and their time with Jesus and things like that. But but I mean, I had this full blown ghetto dream the other night. It was like, I mean, I was in the middle of these projects, and I was with three other, you know, black people were in the project, and there was a lot of drugs involved, and then there's a woman too, and then there's a kind of a scientist guy that was trying to help them creating some other substance, which is just as bad as the heroin and everything else. And I was smack in the middle of this stuff going, what, why am I here? What am I doing? Trying to get people to wake up and I woke up just feeling beat up, and and there were just a lot of total disrespect for life, people killing people, just insane stuff. And I always wondered if that was when that happens. Usually, I go, okay, was I there, traveling, trying to help these people, like shift or clean up these denser levels, the lowest levels. You know, or was that like some kind of an astral being, like a low level being just messing with me, trying to, you know, screw with my energies or take my energies down? Because when I woke up, I was drained. I mean, it was like I'd been working all night long, and that's what it felt like.
You know, I would say that it may well be the dream creating a situation for you to feel, you know, like you say, you're cleaning up some of the tougher stuff, maybe some of the emotional stuff or some of the mind stuff, or even, you know, more complicated stuff than that. And it's kind of giving you just a sampling, because that what you experience really exists. And to know that, not just from a knowledge in the head, but from an experiential point of view, will give you a kind of empathy or a kind of awareness, just in a general healing sense, that will give you, you will do a better job from knowing that place or knowing that reality. It'll give you empathy that maybe you didn't even have before.
We're just talking about different types of dreams and different influences, and how we were taught to categorize dreams. You know, some were teaching dreams, some were just processing our own stuff. Some were actually going out and working on other levels, and some were actually influenced by low level beings. You know, so it could be what I found. Once I can get it categorized, then I can understand the dream a lot more.
Yeah, one thing that I've found helpful lately is to, and I got this from going to a Robert Moss clinic, but he suggests that you always title the dream. Mm-hmm. And if you put a title on it, that helps put it in a place that can be accessible. And so that's one thing I've been, and oftentimes it helps you summarize the core meaning of the dream when you're trying to think of a title for it. And sometimes you might put the wrong title on, and later on you'll realize, no, I know what the title of that dream is. And then it just kind of thinking about it that way helps really crystallize the dream.
Exactly. And there's another theory that it's all you. And basically, in the big picture, it is all you. I mean, there's nothing that's not you, because we're all in this big unified field. But if you look at it that way, you look at each person in the dream, and they're all aspects of you working different parts of yourself out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, each person. Yeah. Because they'll be there because they are reflecting some inner aspect to you. And you could even carry that a little farther. This is partly influenced by Zen and the concept of when the student is ready, the teacher will come or the master will come. And I often say that the master is the moment. You know, sometimes the master will come as a old man and a long beard or something, but sometimes it'll just be the situation that you're presented with, or the people, the real people that you're presented with, and you're always being taught that lesson. Every circumstance is bringing to you exactly what you need in the moment. So, you know, if you're really frustrated with it, hey, that might be even a sign that you got to pay even closer attention. Sometimes it'll be easy. Sometimes it'll be positive. You know, sometimes either way, it's a point of getting your attention and drawing you into that moment to learn the lesson that the situation is providing for you.
Definitely. You know, personally, I'd rather blame some unseen thing or person for everything and run that program. But I've learned that doesn't really take you very far.
you have to take responsibility for your own state of mind, and then everything actually gets a lot easier after that.
It's amazing what a little bit of accountability and responsibility can do in your quantum leap and evolution. And it's really that simple.
Yeah, a lot of people maybe fear that or don't want that, but really that's where the freedom lies, when you own it, when you say, I'm the one who is creating my world moment to moment. And, you know, there's a story of Buddha where he talks about essentially where if you have buttons to push and somebody pushes them on you, you should thank them for provoking that in you so that you could see that and then no longer be reactive towards that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely, I've been known to push a few buttons now and then. And I've actually backed away from that program. It is one of the most loving kind things you can do to somebody sometimes, is to move beyond, you know, your need for acceptance or approval, or and say what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that is a true friend. You know, one will go, okay, yeah, let's wait a minute. I love you like a brother or sister, but let's back up and look at this from a different angle. And that's kind of what we need to do now, is get back to taking responsibility you know, not getting into this blame game or anything else, and become more sovereign in our love and joy, and, you know, approve and accept ourselves rather than seeking it outside of ourselves.
Yeah, that goes back to that birthright you were talking about earlier, to come into the temple of your body and your being and shine that light and don't let anything stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed too, like a moth comes to a flame, the brighter your light, the more your challenges are going to come to you. And I know they say that in India, you know, they talk about the closer you get to nirvana, the demons are going to rear their ugly heads. So, so if you've got some challenges, it means that you might be on the right track, you know. It's like, you have no challenges, you might want to take a look at something. You may not be evolving at all.
Yeah, and there's no way out but through. You have to go through it. There's no avoiding it. So it's best look straight at, you know, it's the best to look straight at it and take it on. And that's why it's important to have a sense of humor, a sense of joy, because that's what works the best in the face of adversity, is joy and happiness. And it just dissolves darkness wherever it lives.
Yeah, it's really hard to slug a smiling face, you know. But some people would try. You know, a lot of people are very upset, or they get very upset about other people's joy or bliss because it's a reflection of their own lack of bliss.
Yeah, and you know, this goes back to that empathy. It's because they're hurting inside, and they want to feel that joy, and so they're angry at you for having that joy. They feel that they're somehow deprived of, and that's just happens to be where they're at in their journey or in their space, and somehow they've got themselves kind of closed in and boxed in, and they don't see any way out. And that's why it's so important to plant those positive seeds all over the place, because you never know what it is that's going to open the door for somebody or wake somebody up. You know, when you run down the description of everything I do, musician, artist, radio, personality, etc., etc., well, there's one reason I do all that stuff, is to plant as many seeds as I can and in as many ways as I can. So, and then to kind of shoot it out there into the matrix so that synchronicity can take over and the messages can find the people or the places that need them the most.
Yeah, definitely. We can't plant enough seeds, and there can't be enough examples out there to kind of show people, you know, what it means to walk in integrity and walk a life of love and joy and bliss. And you know, I'm the first one to say I don't always walk that path. I do the best I can, but I don't blame myself if I have an experience. I just gain the wisdom from that experience and then let it settle in the soul, forgive, and move on.
Yeah, you have a very positive attitude, James. Thank you for that.
No, and every once in a while, I just want to kill somebody. I'm kidding.
Yeah, man.
I'm kidding. We were joking about that the other day. This one person was just being such an obnoxious, unbelievable. And I know it's because his parents never took care of him or never paid any attention to him and things like that. And, you know, I was looking at these friends of mine. I said, can't we just kill him? and coming from me, everybody just started busting up. It's kind of like we have this spiritual humor here. It's like spiritually inappropriate humor. And, yeah. And it kind of turned one of these guys around, you know, it was a little bit, you know, but, nice. You know, it was kind of a shock value, you know, he wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Coming, you know?
Yeah, there's always spontaneity can definitely be a key, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, I would never do it, but it was kind of funny in the moment.
Yeah.
See, we are in interesting times. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's some pretty major events unfolding. How do you feel about now? There's something coming up, and I've gotten a lot of information about it. It has to do with the changing of the guard between some of the ultra-dimensionals and mainly the Palladians. And in conjunction with a lot of the, it's like they're all coming into alignment, and it seems like humanity is the last realm that's out of alignment. You know, the nature spirits, the masters, you know, the ultra-dimensionals, the higher benevolent, spiritually advanced ETs, they're all working together right now and coming into alignment for a major event coming up very soon. Mm. And I don't have all the details, but I'm sure you're probably feeling something around the corner as well.
Well, I definitely think that the overall frequency of things is rising. It's gently rising because it has to be somewhat gentle, or else people might go haywire even more so than they are already. But simultaneous to the compression and the control issues that are out there in the world is this rise in spiritual energy, and maybe somehow they're kind of connected or intertwined, like the last flare up of a match before it goes out, this ugliness rises to the surface. And one thing I think is that with the interconnectedness of communications, humanity has to take one good solid look at its whole entire past in order to move on. And I think that's a big part of it, is that right now we're we're essentially psychoanalyzing the whole of human history. We're going over all of it, and we're debating, was this right, was this wrong, and finding what feels right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's almost like the inner struggle on a macro level. And mm-hmm. I think people are feeling it also on the micro, on the individual level. And that's where we eventually do get alignment with entities that are in harmony with Tao. We individually choose to align with nature, and then we will be in harmony. So each individual that brings themselves into accord with that resonance will give off a sympathetic vibration that will in turn cause others to hopefully move in that direction as well. And I think we're reaching a kind of threshold. Obviously, you could throw the 2012 thing in there. And regardless of the external reasons for it, it seems like everybody kind of feels that there's something going on. And if we all feel it or all believe in it, then it is so. So something's going on. And more people are waking up to their higher self, to their soul, to that which is beyond them. So I have great hope. I think we just have to really continue to do that and continue to share that joy. And at some point, the breakdown will become a breakthrough and humanity just might find its way.
I'm sure praying for that one. I always say I'm very much into, praise Creator or Allah and tie your camel.
Because I agree. God has no one's hands but your own.
Yeah. And it does seem we are moving into these times where we are going to have to be sure and take care of our physical needs, get closer to the earth, simplify, and start living in harmony with each other and the planet. And that's about the only way we're going to get through, because they're telling me that pretty much the line's been drawn. And if you don't have love in your heart, you're not going to be able to cross that line pretty soon. Hmm. So we're definitely going into some major shifts and changes. And I think it's either going to hit you like a brick or a feather, depending on your own consciousness and your own density, you might say.
Well, that artificial world can't be sustained, and it's eventually going to crumble. And if you believe in it, then you will crumble. But if you don't believe in it, you can just watch it fall and be able to adapt to the new reality.
Yeah, there's a whole new world right behind it that's being created. And if you go with that flow, you'll take the upward spiral. If you keep hanging on to the old program, it's on a downward spiral, and you'll end up going with it.
Yeah, and I hope to see many of you on that upward spiral. And if you see me out there, make sure that you wave. I'll probably wave back. I'll probably have a big smile and enjoy the ride.
A big smile and a bag of fruit.
Or a glass of wine.
Yeah, that works too. Hey, we're running up to the end of the hour. Before we go, I want to make sure and give your website out and any ways that people can contact you.
Sure thing. It's creativecosmos.org. All my stuff's on there. I've recently updated the gift shop a little bit. You can get all my books on there, Pearly Gates Press, Ruminations of the Universe. I go into great depth about many of the things we were talking about and many other things, cosmic things, the galaxy, the universe, our inner world, our outer world, anything fun, all kinds of great things, all designed to provoke and great thoughts and help you consider new possibilities. Creativecosmos.org. You can come by. My email's on there. Drop me a line. Say hello. Anytime you want. I'm always happy to hear from you.
Great. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Enjoy the rest of your Halloween, and watch out for those goblins and witches. They're ducking.
Yeah, thanks, James. Thanks so much. I had a great time. You're a great host, and you're doing good work. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thanks.
We're We're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening, and stick close to that fire, because there might be things waiting for you. Woo-hoo.